The General Allotment Act is more popularly known as the Dawes Act. When the Great Sioux Reservation was established with the Treaty of Fort Laramie, Native Americans were still able to live practicing their traditional customs and beliefs. Harold Compton has spent many years in a variety of land management positions for the Bureau of Indian Affairs and most recently the Tribal Land Enterprise based out of Rosebud Sioux Tribe, which he is also a member. He is currently Chief Operating Officer at the St. Francis Mission in Rosebud.
So the Dawes Act, it was an effort to dissolve those tribal systems that we have that we were able to survive under for generations. And that surplus lands, it was no more than a government taking of lands that the tribes claimed under the 1868 treaty.
One historian who worked closely with tribes being affected by dams being built along the Missouri River calls the Dawes Act a disaster to the way of life. Michael Lawson says it was destructive in taking away tribal land.
I think that some of the creators of that statute understood that that would be the effect. Whereas others probably thought that there was a humanitarian thing. They had the idea that if they would take tribal lands and give people individual property rights and train them to be agricultural farmers, that that would help assimilate them into dominant culture. But in so many ways, it was a real disaster.
According to Harold Compton, land ownership was a foreign concept to Native Americans as they lived communally off their land.
We did not see it from a financial aspect. We saw it as a relative that helped us. It became a real struggle, and it was when the Allotment Act was passed, Henry Dawes, it became a real struggle for people that were given allotments. Many people did not understand what really was happening and the concept of individual ownership.
After Native Americans were allotted their parcel of land on their respective reservations, the surplus land was opened up for non-Native settlement. This land was usually the best land, chock full of natural resources, and was better for agriculture. Historian Michael Lawson says it also led to the further diminishment of individual and tribally owned land within the already established boundaries.
Gregory County, they opened it up for settlement, I think first in like 1904, of the surplus lands, and then they opened it up. There's this big, incredible rush of settlement. People were waiting in line to file in Gregory County. And there was so much non-Indian settlement. The tribe and the Bureau considered it to be still part of the reservation. Then the state of South Dakota sued to say, well, you know, there's so many non-Indians live here that we think that this reservation has been diminished. And they've filed suit on that. And that case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in 1979, they ruled that that those lands had been diminished. So they were no longer part of the reservation.
In 1906, Congress passed the Burke Act, a direct amendment to the Dawes Act. Compton says it was another way to land grab.
The Burke Act came along in 1906, I think it was, and allowed for the federal government to determine if allotment owners were capable of managing their own affairs and putting their lands on the tax rolls, and allowing them to be sold also to non-Indians.
According to Harold Compton, by 1934, 100 million acres of land had been sold to non-natives within reservation boundaries. This created an issue called checkerboarding. Checkerboarding can create unique disadvantages in terms of growth and jurisdictional challenges between tribes, county, and state authority. Another issue tribes are actively addressing is fractionated ownership of lands that were given to the original allottee.
So then in the middle of all of this, we had allottees passing away and their land becoming undivided interest based on if they hadn't written a will, given it to one of their children or their spouse or their relative or anybody, where it would be still be a one person owning it. The land would become fractionated based on their heirs. Could be their spouse would get a third, their children would get two-thirds. If one of the children was... And this became a huge issue in Indian country, and it alienated people from land ownership because now there were many owners.
There have been congressional fixes to land mismanagement of tribal trust assets by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. In 2010, a class action lawsuit known as Cobell v. Salazar was settled, and the U.S. Congress allotted $3.4 billion to be used for a trust land consolidation fund, as well as issued direct payments to class members. It also established a land buyback system for tribes, a National Commission on Indian Trust Reform, individual settlement payments, and an Indian education scholarship, all done as a direct result of the failure of the Dawes Act of 1887. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Richard Tubels in Rapid City.